to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
Shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The thirst is absolutely real, everybody. I am Sir Aaron Carter, and you are listening to the Video Game Bang's Weekend Bang, powered by NRG, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the coffee, stay for the comics. Are we doing the new?
No.
Not yet.
No. We're not showing our Love for Disney yet?
Nope.
Okay. All right, I guess not. I guess we're not doing our final sponsor. It's Disney, though. I don't care.
No leaks.
You know why? Because everybody in the world is waiting for the Avengers trailer to drop, and Disney is withholding that mofo like a like Fort Knox gold.
Didn't people already see it?
Live audience? Yeah, it was a live audience, but nobody really got to like see the full thing, because like there's. So if you went to the, I think it was the D3 or D1 or whatever that was, you got to see the behind the scenes type of thing. They got a little small group of people that got to see it and everything like that. And of course, there were some super secret spies in the room who got to smuggle in a camera and show the trailer and everything like that. But the rest of the world didn't get to see it. This is goodness that we've been waiting on for years. The collaboration of many, many, many efforts brought into one full movie with one of the greatest villains in the comic book history.
I have mixed feelings about it.
Okay. We'll get into that because you heard his voice, everybody. The real David Webb's here.
What's going on, everybody?
Why would you have mixed feelings about potentially one of the greatest movies of all time?
Because although it is probably going to be the greatest movie of all time, and it's very exciting that's coming out, it does mean that this is the beginning of the end for these Marvel movies.
No, you're looking at it the wrong way.
Well, as we know it,
Looking at it the wrong way. This is the beginning of the beginning, sir. That's what this is.
No, that was Iron Man back in like 2000.
See, no, Iron Man, they didn't even think this far down. I know they didn't. They thought, you know what? Let's gamble. Let's go throw an Iron Man movie out there.
I bet you, okay, maybe not Thanos.
Exactly,
far,
yeah.
But they did think Avengers far, because at the very end of Iron Man, he meets up with Nick Fury, and he says, I need to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative.
But they didn't think Thanos far. Exactly.
Didn't they, though?
I'm telling you.
Didn't they, though?
I'm telling you. It's going to be amazing. He's also here with us, of course, Corey Vincent.
Fuck my life.
Hey, things are happening, sir.
No, this is the worst. No, this is officially the worst day of my life.
Is it?
Yeah.
This
is the worst. There's not much worse that could happen.
I think we've had worse before, sir.
Okay. There's been one time where it was worse than this.
I'm talking about showroom worse.
There's one time where the studio was so discombobulated we actually had to cancel a show.
Yeah.
It only happened one time. We were on the verge. We almost did it again. We probably should have, but we didn't, and we're not. And this is what happens.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to go sometimes. You got to roll with the punches. You got to adapt and survive.
Just for reference, Twitch cannot even see you.
Well, I mean, I can see on the actual thing, it's kind of fitting, a black box for the black guy. So, I mean.
I could probably make it a white box.
No, let's not do that.
Just for equality?
Let's not do
that.
No?
I mean, if you want to throw like an image on there, you can throw an old image of me or something like that. That's fine.
You have the mustache pick?
I'm going to go find Eddie Murphy.
Let's find that.
Horrible. But anyway, I got a couple more people to, of course, introduce. They're here week in and week out. Of course, the chat room. Say hello, chat. They're always so quiet.
Hello, chat.
Yeah, they're always so quiet. They never say anything.
We don't have a soundboard.
We don't have a soundboard for this one. Sorry, guys. But we have a special guest today.
We do.
Because the Video Game Bang is going to be at Sac Gamers Expo December 10th?
Nailed it.
There we go. Boom. First try. and this gentleman will be there as well. You guys may have heard his voice once or twice on the interwebs. Jason Dameron, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad it's actually functional.
Yeah. This is a rare occasion. I mean, that we've been this, this under. But Again,
I was gonna say functional is a very courteous term. Thank you so much. Like, yeah. that was the biggest compliment.
Yeah,
I meant under
anything but functional.
Jason, so you're gonna be at the Sci Gamers Expo with us.
Yes.
You've been a voice actor for, I think you said, 20 plus years?
About. I first started doing voiceover work mid-90s or so. Mm-hmm. And I was advertising for, I think at the time, a medical programming company that wanted to do like a, nursing program tutorial so they can have these programs on, we're talking, Windows 95 era, quality programming back there, but they were doing some advertising, and that was kind of my first foray into paid advertising using my voice to do that sort of stuff.
Now, one of these things where you constantly heard people saying, hey, you have a good voice, you might want to try voice acting, or was this just I've always wanted to be a voice actor ever since I saw my first thing?
I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I would mimic Scooby-Doo. I'm watching Scooby-Doo. Shaggy! ever since I was, could start talking, I would start mimicking characters and stuff with, other, mostly cartoon characters at the time. Hey, kids!
So you prefer cartoon characters over, like celebrities or something?
Well, now that I'm older and I can actually do some celebrity voices, it's more common that I do that. Nobody's going to hire me to do Kermit the Frog. Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. Nobody's going to, try to ruin a potential lawsuit for whatever they're going to get me to do, where they're, we'll have another character, or invent a new character, or do celebrity impressions every so often. But I mostly just use my regular voice for narrating. Oh, say like you need to get OSHA training to dig a trench and you're in, a state that, we're in California, so we have Cal OSHA, but for the rest of the country, you might be hearing my voice for, say you need to do training and you're digging a trench out in front of your business and you have to get, OSHA training to do that. And you go online and get a training course to do that. You might be hearing my voice on some of those because I've done tons of that sort of stuff.
And we all look forward to watching those HR videos.
Super.
But, anybody from California who finds themselves listening to those will be that one guy who's like, hey, I actually know the voice actor who's doing this right now. His name is actually Jason Dameron. And then you'll seem really cool. And all the girls at your work will throw themselves at you.
That's really? That's how that goes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you can dig a trench like the best of them.
Yeah.
Digging the old trench.
Oh, laying some pipe.
I like this guy.
So is it going to be a I wondered because you said on your website, I saw that it says you're like the voice of, I don't know, what is it, a million? Million? Or was that a hyperbole? Were you using there?
Oh, goodness. Some of my data is pretty old. I think I calculated between 2012 and 2014, I recorded about 1.2 million words a year.
Jeez.
And that includes audiobooks, that includes narrations. Say like your average book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, that's about an 80,000 word book. So it'd be the equivalent of, throughout the course of a year, recording the equivalent of maybe a dozen books. But when you're broken down into smaller categories, say like a 30-second spot for, come to Taco Charlie's for Taco Tuesday. That's only, say, like 160 words for something like that. But it adds up over the years.
What do you find the most entertaining to yourself? Like, what are the jobs that you like the most? Is it just the reading the books? Is it the commercials? Is it the training videos? What do you like the most?
Well, it's definitely not the long term training type
it's
of videos.
It's got to be the training videos.
That's what
right?
I was thinking.
Some of those just are repeating over and over and over again for legal purposes for some details and now be sure when you're practicing, they get old real quick. But when it comes to, I love doing video game character voices. I love doing especially like the narrations for YouTube videos, like for Commonwealth Realm, do a ton of stuff for them. Shoddycast, which people probably know me best as the storyteller with the guy with the power armor with the iBot floating around behind him. walking through the wasteland, talking to wastelanders, telling them about the history of, you know, the pre-war times.
That was an interesting project there. How did you get wrapped up in that one? The Fallout, like, lore.
Yeah, they came to me. The ShoddyCast guys found me on a business platform called Odesk at the time. They're different now. But when they found me, this was 2013, maybe. So it's been about 4 years that I've been working with them. And they wanted, someone to narrate some of their stuff. And so they had me audition, and I came up with they were looking for kind of a Ron Perlman-ish kind of voice, but obviously we didn't want me to try to just do a, you know, Ron Perlman, you know, war never changes type of. I'm sure if you remember the Fallout games, he's the guy that narrates most of the openings to them.
Yeah.
And they wanted something kind of like, you know, just a deeper kind of an aged, learned voice. And it started out mostly just narrating, you know, the history of the Fallout lore in game lore stuff. But as time went on, they decided to actually make me be a functional character and give me a suit of power armor and little iBot to record as I followed around. And then the voice kind of, once I knew that there's a character, then I was able to give the voice a little more nuances that I knew it was actually a person as opposed to just a, you know, disembodied, you know, a narrator behind the scenes. So it was a little more fun once I realized that there was actually, you know, a person that they were going to represent that I was going to be playing, and kind of took off from there.
Do you do any of research on your own? Like what is this game Fallout? Did you ever go back and, kind of play the games or anything?
I was one of the very first buyers of the first Fallout when it came out 20 years ago.
Oh, you played the top down one, huh?
All of them. I was, you know, right when I was on the shelf, I said, oh, a post-apocalyptic role-playing game, count me in, you know, here's my money. And so I played those, and then two, and, you know, and then I didn't think anything of it because years went by, and I said, oh, well, there's no more Fallout. And then they made Fallout 3, and I was totally hooked back up again. So I just recently played Fallout New Vegas again, only like a week ago. So I still love the Fallout games. I'm not only a, you know, character in the lore world, I'm also a fan of the games too. So there were a few errors. Every so often I would get a script and I flat knew there was an error in the script. So, oh no, you're saying this is happening on the West Coast? I know for a fact this was on the East Coast because I just played this part of the game, you know, 3 weeks ago.
That's so nice. That's nice. I mean, it's always good to hear when the actor really cares about the source material and they can, you know, give their feedback and everything like that. It's pretty cool.
Did you? I saw you did some stuff with Commonwealth. With the YouTube series. How'd you get wrapped up with those guys?
Same sort of thing. Whereas Conrad actually, I think, found me via him being a fan of the ShoddyCast stuff. So he found me kind of through that way. So, hey, I love the ShoddyCast stuff. Can you help record some stuff here for us? And I said, you betcha. And, you know, anybody that needs my voice, you know, I'm there.
How did you, how do you get into the business now? Like, are you able to make a full-time? Because we know people who are a lot of people going down that voice acting path, and they're all talking about moving to L.A., and none of them really make a whole lot of money off it. But it seems like you actually do stuff. How did you get to that point where you're just doing stuff? It's just because you've been around for so long? Yeah, no, because then like, you hear other people, they're like, well, the key to success is starting 10 years ago. Or, you know, so is it one of those deals where you just been around forever, so you just get the work? Or how do you what's your advice to younger voice actors?
It's hard. The competition out there is extreme. Whereas you got, some people, I will hire you for a week's worth of work and I will pay you $5. You know, so they got tons of that sort of stuff. So luckily I've built up a good sized clientele base that I go to, but you know, it's obviously not as big to pay all the bills. So, I'd love for there to be, you know, more opportunities like that. So more, anytime there's a video game opportunity, I'm jumping on it. And anytime there's new narrations for other, I still audition for stuff. I've even made up an audition today's Saturday, so yesterday I made up an audition reel for somebody I think in the Netherlands working on an upcoming game series. So I recorded a number of voice auditions for them. Whether that comes into anything or not, never know. But I do a bunch of voices for Forgotten Empires. They do a bunch of expansion sets for some of the older Microsoft games like Age of Empires, Age of Empires 2. So if anybody plays any of those expansions that have been made over the last few years, they'll probably recognize my voice as various different characters in those.
I love like talking to voice actors like yourself because like it seems like you're always in voice actor mode. Like just talking to you right now, you talk very pronounced. I can understand every word you're saying. Is that like, are there exercises you do each day to have that? Because when I talk, I sound like a slob. All my words blend together like pieces of shit. But then when I talk, I need to work on. Is that how you stay tuned for work?
I kind of just normally sound like this. You call me up any day. Meet me at a restaurant and, I'm ordering food. I still sound like this. It's not a matter of, I go into a character for like narration purposes and for when I'm doing the shoddy cast, then I go into a voice that sounds more like this. I then change up my voice a little bit for a lot of those situations. But regularly, this is what I sound like. I'm not putting on a voice or anything like that. And that's probably why I went into, because I actually have a degree in broadcasting, so. Some of us maybe already worked like this to begin with, just had a certain functionality of how our diaphragm works with air passing through it. And it sounds like I'm in broadcaster mode 24/7. And it's funny because I've had some customers that have tried hiring me through like Upwork or Odesk or something like that, that don't want somebody to sound like this and say, okay, I've got to actually to not sound like this. I go, oh yeah, dude, I'm gonna go to the pizza place, pick up some pies, come down, pick up some pizza or something. Then I gotta act as a different character to do something like that.
Everybody who doesn't have a cool radio broadcast voice is a stoner who wants pizza. Is that what you're saying?
that's just an easy example.
No, because like that's when we've talked to voice actors in the past. Like the thing was like I've always wanted to be a voice actor. I've never done anything to help meet my goal, which is my problem. But like Aaron here has like a beautiful voice. We call him the golden voice gangster. That's what he grew up with.
I still don't accept.
Yeah, they call him that on the streets of Strawberry Manors. And me, I just have this normal and kind of annoying voice. And so I would ask the voice actors, how much of it are you born with, to get into that? And is it possible for just an average guy to become a voice actor? And I've yet to talk to one voice actor who doesn't have like just an awesome voice normally. What have you come across?
Well, I kind of, I run my own, company is via, my website, which people can find at kenkennon.com. And, and I can't say for what other people are doing, but sometimes I lose, just like I was saying, that for, say, somebody wants to do a whiteboard animation sort of thing for their video, and they want somebody that sounds like, super off the street, casual, normal. I don't get those jobs because they want somebody that sounds like, unlike what I naturally sound like. They want somebody, like I said, okay, here we're going to go down the street and we're going to, look at these stores over here. Let's try walking.
I bet it's tied to like that whole millennial thing. Like they don't like to be marketed to. So because I hear those commercials too, and they annoy me more than anything. Like the commercials that are like for hip, like Sprouts or one of those food restaurants or those hipster food places that you go, Aaron. What's that place called? The Nugget?
The Nugget is not a hipster place.
Yeah, the Nugget's a hipster place.
That's 100%
people with money class. Who wear skinny jeans.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's what it's for. And then if you listen to the commercial on the radio, it's like some guy that goes, hey, guess what? I just bought broccoli for 30 cents. This is cool. Like, it's not like the old school classic, hey, let's go to Target, the corporate stuff.
What commercials do you listen to?
Yeah, where
I
don't. You...
Well, I haven't listened to commercials in about 10 years because of the internet.
That's obvious.
But still,
it's like, yo, let's go to Target.
Well, still, but you know what I'm talking about? That everyman voice that's kind of creeping up into a lot of fucking commercials lately. You know the one that tries to make you feel relaxed. Hey, Farmers Insurance, we got your back, bro.
Dun, there you
dun,
go.
Dun, mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that's like the everyman thing.
Somebody's gonna want that.
Um, Well, see, Aaron has a segment. I'm afraid to even try something else.
No, no, we should definitely.
Should we try it?
Yeah, we should definitely go for it.
You have the thing hooked up?
I'm already ready.
All in.
Jason, have you ever seen the show Inside the Actor's Studio?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. You are like one of the rare guests we have on the show that's actually seen the show.
Yeah, I've actually seen it.
So
I remember you used to love the SNL skits where they would pretend they're talking on the Actor's Studio. Who would they usually have
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell used to do that. Yes.
That's right.
James Lipton.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes, yes. So we do a segment on our show very similar to that one for copyright purposes, but it's not the same. Called Inside the Geek Studio, where we have 10 questions for our guest, which is you.
Sure.
And we would like you to, you know, answer them one by one. But now we can do this two different ways. We can try this in as you as regular Jason, or I can have different people, like maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger would like to answer some of these questions.
You name it. Tell me what you want, and you got it.
Oh. I think we do the voice impersonations.
All righty, then. All right. You don't have my music queued up?
No, I thought you took the plug.
Yeah, but I don't have the music queued up. So
we'll put it in post. We'll 3, 2, 1, and bam! Post music.
That's
how we do it. That's how we're doing it today, baby.
Today on the latest Inside the Geek Studio, we have with us a very famous thespian. He has been in many productions.
Are you just making shit up?
No. I've got this.
You have his IMDb open?
Yeah,
this is somebody else I'm doing? Okay.
His long 10-year marriage with Miss Piggy has been a staple in the community. Today we have Kermit the Frog. Kermit, are you with us?
Hi-ho! Kermit the Frog here. How are you doing?
Quite well, Kermit. Thank you.
That's great to be here, guy. Thank you.
Kermit, what is your favorite geek or nerd word?
My favorite geek or nerd word must be... Pwned.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Kermit the Frog saying pwned.
He just said it. I'd like to hear that word used in a sentence. I don't know what that means.
I was playing Miss Piggy in a game of, let's call it pork backing, and I'll just happen to say that I pwned her for hours.
Hours?
That's you the animal. Best.
10 minutes max.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For our next question, we have here to the stage, everybody. He's been a leader in the community, especially in the community of California. He has even led as the governor for quite some time.
Oh, Jerry Brown. I hope you got a good Jerry Brown.
my Jerry Brown is uncanny.
That'd be awesome. Throw a laugh.
For most of the people listening to this, it could be. They wouldn't tell the difference.
Ex-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mr. Schwarzenegger, thank you for being with us today. One question for you, sir. What is your...
Yes.
What is your favorite video game?
My favorite video game. It must be... the Terminator.
It's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That was a good game. I love that when he's going around and shooting people all the time and left and right and blowing up the bad guys and in the humans and stuff like that. Because you know, I would always play as the Terminator itself and go around and killing all these other guys. Bang, bang, bang. And I would always win. They keep putting in the quarter after quarter after quarter, and every time I would eventually win. It was just a matter of time.
Thank you, Arnold, for being with us
tonight.
You're
welcome.
I know you're a busy man, so we'll move right along.
Hasta la vista, baby.
This is better than I expected. Our next guest tonight, we have a difficult question for him. He has been in some of my favorite movies of all time. I can't He's been a regular on the SNL skit. Legendary okay. characters. You may remember him wanting and needing more cowbell. Mr. Christopher Walken is with us tonight, everybody.
Oh, hi. How you guys doing?
Mr. Walken, thank you for being here again tonight with us.
You got it. I'm glad to be here, gentlemen.
You have an illustrious career, but many fans of the show here would love to know what your favorite cartoon is.
My favorite cartoon? Oh, it must be the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, because, you know, the coyote always wants the Roadrunner, and something always happens, and the Roadrunner goes through, like, this rock wall, and the coyote, he invests, like, all of his savings account into buying, like, these bombs from Acme. I mean, you think they'd have some other options to buy explosives from, but no, he only has this one store he can buy from. I don't know if he's got like a savings account, a purchase account with him, you know. And he's always going after this bird, and it never seems to work out for him. I feel so bad for him. I really feel for the coyote, because I know if I was him, I'd want to kill that motherfucking bird.
Oh, I didn't know he has good taste in cartoons. Like, no lie to you.
Right.
As a child, my favorite Looney Tune was Coyote and Roadrunner.
Well, that's good to know that you and Walken share that in common.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Thank you, Mr. Walken, for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
But of course, we have to bring out our next guest. He is the 42nd president. He was amazing during his term. Unfortunately, he ran into a little bit of problems, but tonight we won't talk about those problems tonight.
We'll leave that off the table.
Mr.
Bill Barack Clinton.
No, that's the 44th. Oh. But thanks for trying.
Not this hard. It's okay.
Bill Clinton is here with us tonight, everybody.
Thank you, gentlemen. Glad to be here with you.
Bill,
let me just say, Bill, I am a huge fan of your work.
Are you a fan of my presidency or my behind the scenes work?
I mean, as a predator, you were top notch.
Wow.
Did you say as a president or as a predator?
He said as a president, sir. Mr. President, sir. He said as a president.
Okay.
Your episode of Dateline was the best.
But those episodes of To Catch a President.
Oh, man.
So, Mr. President, if I could ask you one question here, I would love to know if you could have any superpower, you know, besides being the president, 42nd president, you know, because that was pretty big power there. Any superpower, which superpower would you have?
I'm already well known and well seen wherever I go, so I would have to say I would like invisibility. Because then I could go inside any high school girls' locker room.
whoa. We are a
this isn't going live, is it?
No. we'll edit that out in
we'll
post.
We'll omit that.
Yeah. We'll.
So two things. Okay. Add in the music, take that out.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I would think maybe time travel. I mean, go back.
You probably
avoid
would
avoid, you know, something. You know how you got caught, so now you can fix it.
Oh, right. I did not have sexual relations with my wife during that time. I mean, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I at least that's the cigar did. It wasn't me.
Oh. Wow. Whoa. Deep stuff here from the president, everybody. Very, very deep stuff. But thank you for your time, sir. Thank you for your
time. You're welcome.
Our next guest to the stage to round this questioning off. He is one of my favorite actors. I don't know about you guys.
Denzel Washington.
No, not Denzel Washington. Thank you.
Will Smith.
He's been in such movies as Heat. You've seen him in
Booker T.
What? No.
Oh, that was Harlem Heat.
No. Al Pacino is here with us tonight.
Hoo-ah!
They're always every Al Pacino impression has to start with a hoo-ah.
Thank you for being with us today.
It gets you in the mood for doing it.
By the way, I did love you in Heat. Great movie. Great movie.
Hot.
But for our final question, Mr. Pacino, if Mario really existed in this world, what would you say to him?
If Mario really existed in this world, I would say, what's up with all the plumbing?
Like, what is that? What's plumbing? I'm sure Mario hasn't gotten that one before.
Yeah, he's probably never.
What do you mean? He's plumbing.
So confused.
Scent of a sewer.
Thank you, Mr. Pacino, for being out with us tonight. I know you're a busy man, so we'll let you go.
Is that all the questions? Was that all your questions, Aaron?
That was all my questions. Yeah, that was it.
Wow.
Awesome. Jason, you burned through those ones. I was going to ask you, too, as a voice actor, is it easy to quickly cycle through these things?
Well, some of them. I was trying to remember, what ones do I have on my website that you're going to pick? So, luckily the two I'm best at are probably Arnold Schwarzenegger and Christopher Walken. They seem to have followed me around for a while.
You ever get to meet them?
The last time I would have done like a Clinton or an Al Pacino was probably some time ago. That's why I think my Clinton, as I was doing it, he was slowly transitioning into George W. Bush.
Should have went there, man.
Go back and listen. He probably sounds more like George W. Bush.
You don't want to make it too topical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. I got so I made a Jerry Brown reference and I was like, I need to research governors because honestly, that's the only one I could remember. So I had to go back and start searching. And do you remember Gray Davis?
Yeah, I remember. I remember Gray Davis. Yeah,
that was a good dude.
But do you remember his? Would you be able to impersonate him though?
No, absolutely.
Exactly. Especially when you said Brown, I'm like, I don't even know what he sounds like. What?
That's a sad state of affairs.
Gray Davis.
Yeah, like yeah, he could have said anything, and I'm like, yeah, that's really good. That's exactly what he sounded like. Who was Kevin Johnson, right? He was
the mayor.
He was a mayor.
Okay.
Not a governor.
Right. Yeah.
It's same thing. Yeah. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah. The mayor of California.
The mayor.
A little different, but okay.
Yeah. Our chat room was saying Gray Davis was recalled.
Yeah. Gray Davis was recalled.
Yeah.
That's how that spun the whole Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And the Gary Coleman thing.
I would rather
Gary
have
Coleman.
Yeah, he ran for governor too. That was a whole weird race.
It was like everybody. I ran for governor that year.
Yeah. Porn star ran.
Yeah, it was a very weird race. So it wasn't out of the realm of belief that Schwarzenegger won, which he did. So, you know.
Aaron, you've been working on some impressions. I've been proud of you in those
With the Marvel thing?
In the Marvel Mondays?
I hurt my throat with that last Macho Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yes. Randy Savage?
Yeah, yeah. How are you at it?
When the Macho Man comes for you.
It's a lot of straining.
Yeah.
A lot of straining. I couldn't, and I did it for a whole hour. Like, no.
Yeah.
I had to.
Oh, no, you can't do the Macho. You know, even Randy Poffo couldn't do it for an hour at a time, I bet, before, you know, bursting blood vessels in his forehead.
Exactly. Know? Like, it's tough. Yeah. I mean, with this new thing that we're doing, I mean, I'm kind of right there with you. I've wanted to try voice acting. But doing different voices is, you know, I think you have to really, really practice at that. Like, you can't just jump into the pond and be naturally.
So, okay, when you knew you were going to do that Randy Savage voice, did you?
I was practicing at work.
You did?
Yeah.
You can actually practice.
You can actually ask coworkers. I remember I was unloading a truck, and my coworker was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm practicing for tonight. I got a game I'm playing.
What were you saying?
Were you doing?
Like, reading
the manifests, all the stuff. Like, ooh, we got one dryer.
We got to unload this truck before they come and take this off.
Exactly.
Away from us.
The key to the good Randy Savage voice, though, is you got to have the hype part, but then you got to get that other part to Randy Savage.
The strep throat?
No, the part where he'd always do like the, ooh, yeah. Then he would do that. then you know what's gonna happen to you.
And maybe ya. Maybe that down part right
I'm
there.
I'm gonna drop off the top rope.
Is where you can
and
get the better.
And then I'm gonna grab Elizabeth.
What did he go to Dateline?
No, that was the other part. Like he would get really hurt in there, slip into a Slim Jim, and then. But then you know you gotta get the championship.
Yeah.
That's why I don't do the voice acting, but there's the other part to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts to it.
It's a two-parter.
It's definitely a two-parter. It's definitely
you
a two-parter.
Got potential there.
I want to do this.
I don't know. So here's the thing. I mean, I say finding the ways you can practice, of course, if you're trying to get into it. Like whenever we did the Marvel with the guy from the Caped Crusader, Piper, he went into full character.
Really?
He just stayed in character. He didn't do his regular voice. He did a different voice for the whole time.
Oh, he did. He was very, the dude from Last Man on Earth? Will
Forte?
Yeah, Will Forte.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of BoJack, sorry.
Okay, yeah. Will Forte. He channeled Tandy.
Really?
Yeah.
And he did it the whole episode.
The whole time.
Have you ever done any, role-playing Dungeons & Dragons, anything like that?
Jason?
Me? Oh, yeah. That's actually where my alias Ken Cannon came from. That was my villain from a 1980s D&D campaign.
Nice.
Came online alias when you know bulletin board systems were all the thing. I've had that as my alias literally since 1993, which I took from you know D&D campaign I ran for during high school. So that's it's followed me around to this day.
You still play D&D?
I haven't in a while. I still love the concept of it, but you know. Married, children, you know, work kind of takes away, you know, the long term commitment it takes to play.
You got to wrap the kids and wife into it. Then you got to get them ready for a session. Yeah, you got
to. But I always think back. Oh yeah, I'd sure like to play some, you know, D&D again. It's back in the day at Fred's group, and we had actually, you know, made up role playing games, and I even have a couple of board games that I made about 20 years ago that still play from time to time.
Nice.
But very much into the, you know, tabletop and RPG
type
of games.
You said you created a board game?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking the Cones of Dunshire from from Parks and Rec.
Cones of Dunshire.
nothing that went to market, just a very elaborate prototype.
Based
on our fantasy game at the time.
So you're also going to be at the SAC Gamers Expo. What are your plans? What are you going to be doing there?
I'm going to be in the special guest area, and they'll have a table for me, and people can come by and say hi, or I'll have pens. I can sign whatever they want. They can, you know, get a video of me talking in the storyteller voice that they could put on there.
I was going to say, are you going to leave voice messages for people?
Yeah, voice message system. Yeah, I did that for a number of different people that ran into me at SAC Anime back in September, and made quite a few happy fans that way. But I'll be there, and I think they even have me doing the announcements, on the PA. So you might even hear the storyteller pop up every once in a while on the PA thing. There's a red Honda in the parking lot with its, you know, lights.
You got to promise you're going to do that in the voices, though. You can't just go on there.
I think they specifically want the storyteller more than anything. Big following on probably out of all the game-oriented projects that I do, probably has the biggest following is the Fallout Lore storyteller.
All right, cool. You mind sticking around for some stories? We can do some. We're going to do a little news cast here. You got enough time for us, or?
Oh, yeah, I think my family's already kind of given up on me, so whatever.
That's something we have in common.
Wow. That's horrible, sir. Well, then let's do some banging around the web.
Banging around the web!
You weren't ready for that, I understand, Jason. That's fine. That's fine. But we're going to talk about a little game that is near and dear to my heart. One of my favorite games of this year, everybody.
Destiny 2.
Yeah, Destiny's 2. You're absolutely correct.
No.
Because it's rigged, everybody.
Is it, though?
Have you seen the news about this bad boy?
No.
This game is rigged like a mofo. So if you've ever played Destiny 2, you know that you'll gain level to the max, right? And then after that, you gain the little
light level,
right? Mm-hmm. Or you, the bar would fill up and you would get a loot crate.
XP. That's
cosmetic stuff, right? That's not a problem, right? That's all fun and games, right? Until somebody gets hurt.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah, you damn right I'm going somewhere with this one. So Bungie changes Destiny 2's experience system after players discover that it was rigged. So during one of the, I guess, events that was going on, players were playing the game and noticing that even though they would play the same quest or something over and over, that the amount of XP that they would get would say, so like if it said 200,
mm-hmm.
it always going to say 200 for this one mission. But on the bar, it wouldn't reflect that. At first, it would show like a full, 200, but then you play it again, it'd be a little less, even though it still would show you the number 200. And people are like, well, what's going on? So somebody on Reddit, of course, they had to go.
Reddit. It's always Reddit.
They had to go in and do the math.
Data mine.
They did all that type of
the
stuff.
The WikiLeaks.
To find out that Bungie was throttling getting experience and not telling you, just showing you. Now, you could just be like, oh, maybe it was a mechanic that they overlooked, or maybe this was some type of coding that they overlooked. But of course, no, it wasn't. This was to get players to go and buy things as opposed to spending hours and hours of grinding to get these.
This can't be real.
Okay.
This is a made up story.
No.
Fake news.
Okay.
Number two, let me ask you this.
Okay.
So this would happen if somebody was doing the same activity over and over
and over
again?
No, different ones as well.
Oh, different ones as well. Okay.
Yeah, you're always,
I had Bungie, I had your back for a second.
Yeah, you did.
And I had a defense worked up.
So Bungie came out, of course, with a statement. Saying that, just to wrap up what they were basically saying, just, we suck. We messed up, so we're going to stop this right now. We're going to cut it off. We're going to go back to the drawing boards, reevaluate, our strategy for this one.
AKA, I'm going to go in, I'm going to delete that string of code and release an update.
When I first read their little statement, I thought maybe they were going to be like, hey, maybe... Oh, we didn't know it was like this. Sorry, guys. But I'm like, wait a minute. You created this. You knew what you were doing. So somebody got caught with their hands in the cookie jar trying to get players to buy more cosmetic. Now, mind you, this was only for cosmetic things. So this wasn't. But in the time and era of, EA and their debacle with, microtransactions and marketplace and stuff like that. No light should be ever shined negatively on another company about microtransactions. And apparently, Bungie didn't get that memo.
Two things. One, it's cosmetic items.
Yes.
So I feel like it's not as big of a deal as like EA.
It's not.
The game, the stuff that you were trying to get actually make a difference.
Here's the thing, to go off of your part one, though.
Yeah.
For me, I don't care.
Right.
But this apparently is blown up on Reddit to almost trying to put them in the same boat as EA. When I was looking when I was researching it, they seemed to try to throw Bungie in the same category.
I want to know, this is part two, I want to know how many people, without going on Reddit, recognize this happening. Because I didn't know this was happening. I didn't know this.
I didn't know it was either.
You don't play the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So I actually played the game on a semi-regular basis, and I didn't realize it was happening. So I don't... Like, if anything, I thought, wow, I'm actually gaining XP a lot quicker than I thought it was. So I don't know if it's as big of a deal as these Redditors are trying to make it out.
Really? You're not mad? What do you think, Jason, about, like, scammy stuff like this happening in video games? We've been covering the last couple of weeks... Star Wars, like EA came out and they made like these microtransactions to unlock these characters where you would have had to play the game for 4,000 hours before you unlock things.
Oh, unlock like Vader and Luke and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
It was so bad. They put out some shitty excuse on Reddit. It became the most downvoted post of all time. And basically what happened was Disney. Remember how we did the story and we were like, oh, people complained, so they changed it? Nuh-uh. I read that it was Disney who actually forced EA's hands to...
Yeah, I heard they were unhappy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a fucking movie that's going to be the number one... going to hopefully be the biggest movie of all damn time come out in, like, what, 2 weeks? And they got their franchise is being ruined by fucking EA, so damn right they had to get in there and regulate. And that shows you that EA doesn't give a shit about what we think. But when big money's telling them to change, they
do.
Oh,
yeah, when the mouse talks.
But Jason, what do you think about this kind of shit? And like, is this new, or have you ever been screwed over like this?
Well, I usually prefer to play the type of games that you buy it off the shelf, and that's the game right there. I'm not usually the type of guy that goes and forks over for the microtransactions. Oh, I got to pay another 99 cents for this, another 99 cents for that, another dollar here, a dollar there. Like, for instance, it's still playing the Candy Crush games. Haven't spent a penny on Candy Crush, but I'm like level 2,500 or something on that thing. Proud that I've said, I'm not even spent a penny on your game. You guys that have made billions off of these microtransactions. I don't fall for it. And, I guess more power to them if they think they can get away with it. But, if the people come down on them and say, no, we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to buy your stinking game because, we think we're getting a game, but really, we get the chassis of a game. And what we really have to do is pay a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there for what we think we've already bought. And I think that totally blows.
Yeah. Video games don't cost $60 no more.
Nope.
Well, Bungie definitely, they say that they are effective immediately, says we are deactivating the system. So, at least they did the right thing and said, we screwed up, we're doing that. But then of course they go on to say that we're gonna, research this. And
we've all worked for companies before. You know how it works. Like the person who enacted that code, guarantee you, was like, this is a shitty idea, we shouldn't be doing this, but there's some dude at the top who's like,
or it could be the opposite. He could have been favored upon. Like, hey guys, I found a way to make it to where they would be kind of forced to our store and buy more stuff with this little bit of code.
No.
And then that greedy guy at the top was like, you're a genius, Craig. Let's go.
BP marketing, Craig.
Exactly.
You're EA material, Craig.
And now he's fired.
EA's poaching.
Or he's
Bungie.
Back down in the basement now. He's like, they found up, Craig, so you're out.
You said we were safe, Craig.
Yeah.
High risk, high reward.
Exactly. But let's talk about better news.
Thank you.
Better video games.
Thank God.
Who remembers the 90s?
I love the 90s.
Do you love the 90s? Do you love Tamagotchis?
Yeah.
They're making a comeback.
Yeah, they are.
But not the little tiny ones. Now for your mobile device, everybody. Tamagotchis are heading to smartphones in 2018.
This is I'm actually mad.
That it took this long to come up with this?
You can go back years of episodes, and I'd had this idea many times. Many, many times.
Okay, Trump. And... Now they're going to do it on the iOS and Android.
They're going to do it, yeah.
Your pixelated blob is now going to be getting a much-needed makeover on your iOS and, of course, your Android. I saw, a little trailer for it or whatever. Of course, it's not really a gigantic boost of a graphics upgrade or whatever.
I hope not. Yeah. I don't want it to look different. I want it to be the same.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of the,
I want an HD remake.
It's definitely not going to be an HD remake.
4K. Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
4K
Tamagotchi.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that.
Oh, I didn't know Tamagotchi said that big of dicks.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to see that.
Holy crap. I thought they were coming out with an actual device.
They probably have those still out. Yeah, a little relaunch
those are coming
or whatever.
Back, yeah.
But, what's better than you can do literally all that stuff on your smartphone and it's a wider...
I'd rather have the little thing.
No, because before your little Tamagotchi didn't have push notifications. That's
exactly.
Like cheating. If you forgot to feed him, you're fucking, he died.
Exactly, that's what I'm
saying. Your phone's going to vibrate.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can expect that right now.
Tamagotchi's hungry.
Yeah, no, you can expect that right now.
You can feed him now for 99 cents. And he won't have to eat for 3 weeks.
Tamagotchi by EA.
I guess my Tamagotchi would be dying then or something. I guess Jason's would be dying too, because he said, I don't spend money on those free-to-play games.
No,
right?
Here's the catch, though.
Dead and buried.
Exactly.
Or you can ask your Facebook friends... to get your Tamagotchi.
Yeah, no, don't hit me up on Facebook saying I just need 3 more coins to feed my, I guess your Tamagotchi just died.
If 3 of my friends can vidge up my Tamagotchi, I go to the next level.
It said expecting the regular things like taking care of it, feeding it, making sure that it goes to sleep, cleaning up after it like you had to before, so you expect a whole bunch of poop emojis on your screen, but all in 2018, unless you live in Canada, which is currently out. So all our Canadian listeners, you can go pick up the free Tamagotchi game. I think it's called Tamatown. Yeah, there you go.
They changed the name?
No. It's Tamagotchi. It's like Tamagotchi something. You live in Tamatown. I'm butchering the name.
It's basically a Pokemon.
Yeah, just call it Pokemon.
If you don't want your Tamagotchi to die, you better watch this 30-second commercial for Geico.
Exactly.
100%. That's the way it's going to be. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm fucking pissed.
Why is that?
It looks too updated. I wanted Pixel. It looks more like they'll probably have a
you know, like how they had the Halo where you can switch the graphics back and forth.
They're not going to do that. Much respect. That'd be dope. They did do that, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
This looks pretty, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed. They did way too much. They could have just released 5 years ago, like when I told them to.
Yeah, but they want to let that marinate. They saw the success of Pokemon Go and they're like, it's time for us to go.
Tamagotchi Go.
Chat room saying that they think a lot of people want the original thing back. Would you rather have the original or on your smartphone? I figure smartphone because everybody has it now.
Original. 100%.
Well, I'm not like 8 years old, so I don't want to put like a little... It was like a keychain.
Yeah, it was a keychain. Yeah. You gotta jangle that thing around. I've seen... When I was in school, there were like girls that had like three of them on their keys.
You know what I had? Whoa, mind blown. Mind blown, dude. You just completely brought back, you've unlocked a part of my brain that was dead.
Okay.
I had these little Tamagotchi fighter guys. Do you remember this?
The ones that would hook up to other. Yeah. I remember that.
I had a guy named Supreme Sumo.
I remember those.
Yeah.
My uncle had one, and we'd train and bat and like raise their levels, and then at family gatherings, we'd hook them together,
and they would fight.
And just all it would just send like a little blast from one screen to the other until one died.
Yeah.
Wow. So maybe they need to
bring
those back.
Bring that shit back.
It's going to be on the cell phone.
Screw Tamagotchi.
It's going to be free to play, and you have to pay for each round that you want to
fight. Bite Sumo Bill for 99 cents.
Exactly.
Yeah. Supreme Sumo, by the way.
Special case says nobody wants it. Jeez. Javi wants it, so there you go. There you go. All in apps, though. Definitely going to put it in apps. It would cost too much money to throw it on that little plastic thing anymore. Nobody
what do you think,
that.
Jason? What should make a comeback? What trend?
Indies? Oh, what did I love back in the 90s? I love pop-up video. Those were awesome.
Ooh.
Pop-up sorts of little things on the when you're watching videos and stuff, and have a little bloop, and pop up some awful little thing like, this person was arrested and died in prison. Goes, oh, that's great.
they have that somewhat on Rap Genius. You ever see that website?
Wait, I thought that's just where they tell you what lyrics mean.
So they tell you what lyrics mean, but they also do give you a little background to... So Rap Genius now is integrated with Spotify. So whenever you're listening to Spotify, it'll have the lyrics, right, from Rap Genius, but then it'll flip for some reason and give you like a little stat about their person. Like literally, it's pop-up video, actually. Mm. Like no lie. It gives you kind of history on that artist, you know, maybe some controversy that they went through. And actually, I don't like it, only because, like, if I want to see the lyrics, I don't want to know his personal life.
Anthony Kiedis lost an ear.
Yeah, no. I don't need that.
Shooting this music video.
When the pyro.
I don't need that. In the film and TV news, everybody, HBO, The Watchmen, of course, has been greenlit to write a pilot for. But the writers decided that they're going for a dangerous show. That's what they want to go for. Not a lot of news about the script, of course, if it's going to be a prequel, sequel, or whatever, to the Watchmen series. All we know is that co-creator of Lost and The Leftovers, Damon Lindelof.
Good job.
Yeah, got it. First try.
He's from England. I don't know. Maybe.
Hasselhoff.
Says he wants it to be a dangerous show. And of course, if it's going to be on HBO.
What does that mean?
So that means they're going to be dead the whole time.
So he's looking at the current state of superhero, quote unquote, shows that are out and everything like that. And they're not really edgy or anything like that.
So he wants to Game of Thrones it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you got to look at it. What's next? What's after Game of Thrones?
Well, that makes sense with Watchmen, though. Watchmen would be more of an edgy, dangerous, dark, gritty show.
For the small time that it has left. Because remember, they're merging it with the DC universe now. So Watchmen are going to be in Superman and Batman universe. They're going to tone it down. It won't be the same.
No, I think you will get Watchmen comics, and it's going to be like Marvel Max. Watchmen comics is still going to be gritty, but when you see them in Batman,
they won't be
gritty. It's going to be toned down a little bit.
And that's just weird to me. Like that's just weird. I mean, they I don't know if they came out. I want to say, and Comics Explained can correct me on this one if I'm wrong. I want to say Punisher didn't come out with Punisher Max first.
No, probably
he had
not.
The regular
well, he started
Punisher
as like a Spider-Man character,
right? Yeah. And then he, you know, went on and they were like, let's really edge this guy up. Let's have him shooting people in the face and stuff like that. This is like backwards though. These are like really edgy characters, and then they're going to go, of course, to DC with Superman, and I'm sorry, there won't be any, you know, impotent superheroes flying around in Superman comic books like there was in The Watchmen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But the whole thing is, this wasn't really a gigantic excitement, I guess, for fans by saying, oh, you're going to make this dangerous? Like, it's The Watchmen.
The fact that he called it dangerous gives me just some cringe factor.
Yeah.
We're going to make a show dangerous. I don't like that.
He says, the reason I'm doing this
I feel like
is
it should be more natural than that. Just make the show. Just tell the story you want to tell. Don't go around telling everybody it's going to be dangerous.
He says, the reason I'm doing this is because these are dangerous times and we need dangerous shows.
Oh my
take that,
God.
Whatever way you want to take that. He says, what we think about superheroes is wrong. I'm all for Wonder Woman and Batman, he added. Noting that while he loves what these superheroes are, we just, you know, trust them too much. There's no gray zone. You know they're going to be good.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's get dangerous.
And then wrapping up with the TV and film news. This is just spoiler speculation. I'm going to put that out there
now. Is it spoilers or speculation?
Is it spoiling speculations?
It's actually both. It could be both. Because if it's correct, then it could be an actual spoiler. So, you know, forewarned about the Avengers movie, everybody, that everybody's waiting on the trailer for.
Yeah.
So the movie that is supposed to take place after it, they have been doing some casting for. And, of course, the internet dug it up somewhere.
Was on Reddit?
Probably.
Yeah.
But they call for casting for two characters that are codenamed. Quick, let me get it real quick. Codename Mary Lou. And the description for these characters are two twin children. Now, people are speculating that Mrs. Wanda Maximoff in the comic books had two twin children with the robot Vision. And that spun off into a whole big storyline all the way down to House of M, into what was the mutant one where there was no more mutants?
I thought that was House of M.
Yeah, that was House of M.
Or maybe it was, yeah. Then what was after House of M?
Mansion of M.
There you go. So anyway, people are speculating that they might spin into the next story. And that's what I was telling you before we started. That's why this could be the beginning of something, not the end of something, sir. Always new things around the corner, everybody.
We got through the show. Everything's working. Your camera's on.
It's perfect, everybody.
It's like there was a storm, and now the sun has come above the clouds just as the show is coming to its conclusion.
Jason, thank you for joining us tonight. You did a fantastic job on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Could you tell the people in the chat room and on the podcast where they can find you on anything that you want to plug?
Easiest way to catch me and easiest thing to spell would be follow me on Twitter at The Real Kank, spelled like how it sounds. I usually repost what I'm doing, where I'm going, big projects. If I need somebody to come up with ideas to make my YouTube channel look a little more exciting, because I only post one thing a year on that thing. But I'm starting to read more of the Skyrim books. There's been some requests that people want to hear the Skyrim books in my voice, so I'm kind of going back and starting those back up again.
Nice.
Easiest way to follow me, Twitter, and you can like an octopus, links from there.
And you can check him out at the Sack Gamers Sexpo.
Sack Gamers Expo, everybody.
Oh, sorry. If you just look at it on a URL, it's Sack Gamers Sexpo. I don't care who you are.
They're still working on the dashes in there.
Oh, man, I signed up for the Sexpo, guys.
Well, good luck doing all the voice acting over there. The oohs and ahs will be crisp, I'm guessing. So you'll have fun over there.
Oh, I'm supposed to be in a power armor? I thought I was supposed to be a power bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Join us out there. We'll be out there as well, of course.
We have some making up to do to him. We got to buy him like a coffee or bring him some crystal
meth. Somebody said, can you read erotic fan fiction for me? Literally, they can go onto my YouTube channel. I, as the storyteller, read about 15 minutes from 50 Shades of Grey.
There you go.
I'm not even kidding. It's on my YouTube channel.
So, special cases in chat. That one was especially for you because we know you're so into it. For Jason, Corey Vincent, the real David Webb, I am Sir Aaron Carter saying, if you want to be a voice actor, practice, practice, practice.
Or just be born with it.
There you go.